32 member herd of sheep.
Well, no, and again, you really and wolves are set up their killing machines.
Yeah, so
they can,
I,
the point of it is now what's going to happen is, Martha, now there's a, we've killed, and you know, I kind of look at the people that put the wolves in going, oh, we got to save the wolves. Hey, what about my moose calves? What about my elk?
Yeah,
you know,
and
what about my deer?
Yeah, we're running out of time for this hour, so we're going to have to wrap it up. And we can pick it up again in the next hour if we want to. And certainly, folks, we'll open the phone lines, and if any of you want to chime in on this. I just think it's very important that both sides of the fence need to actually open up to understand where the other side is coming from. Because this isn't a black and white thing. I know people that would absolutely give their lives to save these wolves and are adamant that we can't be killing them the way that we're doing. But on the other hand, not killing them is not the answer either, or just letting things be the way they are, because it's majorly screwed up.
Talk about the Rocky Mountain Elk Society. Talk about the Bighorn Sheep Society.
Yeah, but, if both sides don't start seeing the other side clearly, there is no way to come together in the middle and find a way to manage this.
It's already been decided, though, Martha. It's already been decided. The permits are out there to start.
Well, yeah, but you know, what I've been reporting on here in the news, the indications are the judge is actually saying that the wolf side is actually going to win, and they will be put back on the endangered species list, and that so the killing will stop. So I don't think it has been answered. I mean, it's answered.
Okay.
But see, it's still, this is ongoing, and it's going to be going, and that's what my point is, that both sides need to clearly understand and open up to the other side so they can work together. I know they won't, but see, if I were in charge of the world,
unhappy animal is man.
This is the way it would be. Everyone would be open to hearing and understanding the other side, and then we work together in the middle. So anyway, that's just from Aunt Martha. So we got to close up quick. We're out of time and over time, so we're going to do our fall into winter tip, and then we will be back. We've got two more hours to go, and Vet Sunday begins. We'll open up phone lines. Stay with us. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets. This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KWJZ 98.9 FM, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk with Animal World's fall and winter tips for you and your animal friends. With the obvious change in our weather, getting colder and wetter, there are several things that pop into my mind that are important for you to think about related to your animal companions. The first is house training. There can be related problems at this time of year with both dogs and cats. Let's start with dogs. Many do not like to go outside in the rain or when it's cold. And do you really blame them? We don't like it much either. The biggest problem is usually the small breeds, younger pups and older dogs, particularly the spoiled and lazy models. But weather-sensitive dogs can be any breed, small or large, and they can even be created by their owners. Remember, dogs are monkey-see, monkey-doers, and they tend to copy our behavior. So if you're raising and educating a puppy in the house training department, most of you probably don't mind going outside with the pup to supervise and praise the good behavior when the weather is nice. But when the weather's bad, most of you are either very unhappy during the outing, or you don't go out at all and make the dog go out all by himself. Herein lies the problem. Dogs pick up and sense even subtle feelings from their people, and they may begin to associate going out in the rain or cold with bad feelings and not want to do it. If you make them go alone, they may not go all the way out in the yard. They'll hold it to deposit indoors when they come back inside. So think about this. When the weather is good, you go out with the dog feeling happy and saying something like, oh boy, outside, let's go outside, and then go potty. Good go potty, good go potty. This is great, and the dog or pup learns to like going outside. But if the weather's bad and you have an attitude change, get grumpy, and on the way outside, grumble something like, oh, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I don't want to go outside, I hate this, come on, bozo, outside, go potty. Even if you're only thinking this, pretty soon, when the weather is bad, your dog will be thinking, yuck, it's rainy, it's cold, I hate this, I don't want to go outside. And you will have created the problem. Now, this is easy to avoid. Keep this in mind when raising puppies or working with sensitive dogs. You can convince most dogs of anything if you have the right sales pitch. So the yuckier the weather is, the jollier you must be. Oh boy, bozo, it's raining. Oh boy, let's go outside. Oh boy, oh boy. And act like you're going to the party of the year. You can even add a tasty little food reward. It must be given on the spot outside. This can make it even more positive. With medium to large breeds, this is usually only necessary during the house training process. Once the dogs get it, it sticks. But with small breeds and sensitive models, you may need to do a refresher course of outside and jollies in bad weather, and during the fall as the weather changes, to avoid a relapse in house training manners. Elderly and or invalid dogs may require this on a consistent basis. With all dogs, I think it just makes sense to have a wonderful dry-off and warm-up ritual after outings in the rain. Give them something to look forward to. And for seriously rain-sensitive dogs, they make doggy raincoats. Some even come with built-in hoods or umbrellas. Make a canine fashion statement in your neighborhood. And remember to tell your dog friend how fabulous they look. Now, let's talk about cats. They can be weather-sensitive also. Indoor-only models, not a problem. But indoor-outdoor models can have a problem, especially if you're used to a cat that always goes to the bathroom outside. The time may come when the weather is just too bad for them to be willing to go outside. So just in case, maintain an indoor cat box for emergencies. Also, cats that go through cat doors to boxes in garages or basements may not want to use them if it's too cold. Lastly, keep in mind that if your cat friend is older or has developed physical problems, they may feel too vulnerable to go outside, and an indoor cat box may be necessary. Next on my list is a reminder. If you are going to winterize your own car, please remember that antifreeze is extremely toxic and deadly for our animal friends, and it is also extremely attractive to them because it tastes very sweet. So be very careful with it, or better yet, use the non-toxic safe antifreeze. Another general tip, as the weather gets colder, if your animals spend extended periods of time outdoors, make sure they have dry and reasonably warm shelter and fresh, clean water, especially when temperatures drop below freezing. And dogs need regular exercise, even when it's cold or wet. Heck, so do we, so keep it up. Another interesting fact about this time of year is that all bodies, animals as well as humans, need more balanced omega fatty acids during cold weather to maintain good skin and hair coats. The easiest way to be sure your animal friends are getting enough is to add the Missing Link supplement by Designing Health to their food. The need for increased omega 3 and 6 oils in their diet increases even more as we turn the heat on in our houses because this can dry out their hair and skin. So avoid winter skin and coat problems with the Missing Link. Now, the last thing on my list is one of the most important, fleas. Even if your animals have been flea-free this summer, it's still important to pay attention now. As the weather gets colder, so do the fleas. Once the outdoor temperature drops consistently below 50 degrees, they cannot survive, so they'll be looking for a ride indoors. You'll need to prepare so they don't infest your home. If you have a problem with fleas this year and you want to get rid of them, now is the time to get serious. In either case, what you need to do is pretty simple. The best way to prevent an infestation from getting started or to eliminate an ongoing one is a safe, natural product called Fleego. Fleego is a powder that you sprinkle into the carpets and animals' bedding. It dehydrates fleas and their larvae, and it really worked. It's what I use to nip fleas in the bud in my environment. You can pick it up at almost any pet store, and fleas or not, keep Fleego on hand just in case like I do. Now, if you've got a current flea problem, once the Fleego is down, bathe and or spray your dogs and cats. You can get safe, natural sprays these days, then flea comb regularly until you're sure they are gone. And keep listening to Animal World because next spring I'll tell you what to do so you don't have a flea problem next year. Well, that takes care of my list for now, but stay tuned because Animal World will be right back.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Now wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
This hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Canada Pet Foods. Superior quality in every bag and can.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial, or you can tune us in on the Internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got Internet access. Now, the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. Now, it is the first Sunday of November already. Can't believe that. That means it's Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic, and the Human Compendium of Articles on the same subject. Now, we were closed out the last hour talking about the whole wolf situation. And we'll pick that up again just for a couple more minutes, because there's something I want to share with you that Sandy and I were talking about with Dr. Al. But I also want to let you know that phone lines are going to be open for the rest of the show today, and we would love to hear from you. If you would like to talk about the wolf situation, and we'd love to hear from you if you've got animal or human medical care questions, and they don't have to have anything to do with the Pluckner syndrome. Dr. Al's an excellent vet, and I actually have an email that I'm going to read about cataracts to see what he has to put in, what he thinks about that. And so if you would like to speak with us on the air, jot down these numbers. Local number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. If you are out of our local calling range, the toll-free long-distance number is 888-298-5569. That's 888-298-5569. And while we're on the air, you can send an email to us at animalworldlive@hotmail.com. If you are sending a question, though, for Dr. Al or a comment or something you want to be included in today's show, be sure you send it early enough that I get it in time to work it in. So animalworldlive@hotmail.com. So, hey, Dr. Al, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here, Martha. You betcha.
All right. Well, we had closed out the last hour. We were just talking briefly about the sad news about one of the most popular wolves in Yellowstone being killed outside of the park last month. And then we were talking about your wonderful wildlife refuge and property in Idaho, and all the wildlife is gone. So that's kind of both sides of the fence here on... You know, there's the team that's on the wolf side, and then there's the team that's on the kill the wolf side.
Well, and the fact that what's going to have to come down, there's going to have to be some common sense here.
Right.
And what is happening right now is there is an overpopulation of wolves at this point.
Well, but not everyone agrees with, I mean, the wolf side of the fence.
Well, they haven't, because they're armchair environmentalists. Most of them sit there in a chair. And they have no idea what's going on. They've never seen their dog pulled in half by a couple of wolves just to kill them. They haven't seen this. They're
right,
but they're world experts on it.
Well,
this
and
is
unfortunately,
one of the problems we get into.
Yeah, that's
and
what
I'll
tell I was.
You what's coming down the road is you will see the population of wolves will have to be reduced. Unfortunately, and honestly, I love wolves. I think they're great.
Oh, but, I love wolves too, and that's why.
Okay,
I
don't want to see an overpopulation that's going to kill off everything else. Period. And it's,
well, there has
to
be a balance, and there has to be, I don't know what the answer is. The problem is that neither side, you know, can see the other side clearly or understand it or is open to that. And I think the side that supports the wolves, of course, is still one of their major arguments is that wolves do not kill for sport. They kill the young or the elderly or the sick or the dying.
Even if that's not true.
Oh, well, let me finish my thought. Is that's the way it used to be, and that's the way we'd like it to be.
That's
but unfortunately, there is too much evidence to support that isn't the case. And case in point being that little paragraph I just read you about the 122 dead sheep. And what Sandy and I were discussing, because, you know, we come from a metaphysical point of view, and we look at the flow of energy, and one of the things, as an animal behavior therapist and trainer, one of the things that I teach is what I call the human-to-animal transference, how our animals pick up, process, and reflect back what's going on with us. And one of the lessons I've learned in my journey in putting this information together is that domestic animals tend to reflect the energy of the humans they live with and are emotionally bonded to. Wild animals tend to reflect what's going on with the mass consciousness of humans around them, and that's probably a whole nother show, and we could go into a lot of details there. But Sandy brought up a very good point that is very good food for thought, and that's what has changed on an energetic level that would cause these wolves to be randomly and seemingly without conscience killing for fun and sport. And then you look at what's going on up in Alaska and has been for so long. The aerial sport killing of wolves. We're doing the same thing to them.
Do you know why they were doing aerial, not sport killing, but killing of the wolves? Is because the wolves were killing off the moose calves, they were killing off the caribou calves, so on and so forth. And I've seen it. I've been up in the plains. I've seen what happened.
And that may be, but the problem is that we've got these wealthy trophy hunters flying in to do their trophy killing, and a lot of it is done for sport and fun. Now,
well,
I'm not saying that we don't need to control the wolves, but if we have to be the predator and we have to do that, seems to me that there's a higher road to be taken there, and a consideration for maybe and how you take out the wolves and eliminating whole packs and families rather
than.
Well,
who do you think really regulates that? The Department of Fish and Game does.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And
anyway,
the ones in a section that will say, "Hey, we have got an overpopulation of wolves because they're killing everything, and so we need X number of taken out." Now, whether Fish and Game does it, Federal Wildlife does it, or what they do is they sell tags to, like you said, wealthy sportsmen that'll come in and do what they can't do or they don't have time to do and reduce that population into a manageable situation where everybody can live happily. No, we've come in, we have raped what has happened. And at this point in time, I'll tell you what, whether the wolves kill for fun, they don't kill for fun, there's an overpopulation now. And how are they going to survive? I mean, how are they going to survive in this altered environment?
Oh,
and if
man.
All the animals go, they're going to have to come into the cities like the poor coyote chap. No, I feel very, very badly. But I think we have caused this problem.
Well, there's no doubt that we've caused the problem.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of saying, hey, I'm pro-wolf or anti-wolf. That's not the problem.
Yeah.
If we're pro-wolf.
Well, something needs, we need to figure out something. And but I guess Sandy's in my point. Sandy's and my point is that there's a bigger picture here, and we have to look at what's going on energetically and what have we done as a human consciousness to create the energy to set up this situation, and why do we have wolves out there killing for sport and for fun, and that what we'd like us to do is look at our own behavior, and because I think so much is out of balance that there's a lot that needs to be looked at here. So anyway, food for thought. Let's leave that subject behind. Let's get to Vet Sunday. We'll take care of our advertisers and sponsors and stay on track. Then we'll have a big chunk of time here, and we won't take another break until it's time for current events and Pet of the Week. So we will talk about the endocrine immune imbalance, but I've got a An email here we'll get to about dogs and cataracts. Interesting to see what Dr. Howell has to say about that. And if you'd like to pose a question to Dr. Al, animal or human medical care questions, or anything related, give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll-free, 888-298-5569. Send us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. We continue straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Today's pampered pets deserve a big apology. Pets are fed the same processed foods meal after meal, which they would never eat in the wild. Research continues to prove that the more we consume processed foods, the more health suffers. Over 25 years of Dr. Wysong's research has proven that pets suffer from the same degenerative diseases plaguing their human friends. Pets don't have a choice about what's put in their bowl, and their human caretakers have been led to believe that they're doing the right thing by feeding this way. Learn more about it at www.wysong.net. Wysong, the thinking person's pet food.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings at her new time on Wednesdays at noon. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays at noon for your free on-air readings. Hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. And check Robin's new Reiki Healing Energy Portal at robinalexis.com.
Canada Pet Foods is committed to providing you and your pets the highest standard of excellence for product quality, palatability, and customer satisfaction. They pride themselves on making only the highest quality all-natural pet foods using the finest ingredients available. All of their products are made the Canada way, with superior quality in every bag and can, with no corn, wheat, soy, grain fractions, fillers, or byproducts, and they're naturally preserved. Discover for yourself and your pets the benefits of feeding Canada and Feliday all-natural pet foods. Go to www.canaday.com for more information.
1150kknw.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're really just getting rolling on the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Speaking of that, hopefully you remembered to turn your clocks back an hour last night. And we're doing Vet Sunday with Dr. Al Pluckner, author of Pets at Risk, From Allergies to Cancer, Remedies for an Unsuspected Epidemic. Dr. Al, we've got a medical question email here.
Okay.
And this comes with, and I'm maybe going to sneeze. Usually I just have to say that, and then it goes away. Yeah, I think so. Okay, well, thank you anyway, if it comes up. All right, let's see. Cute pictures of this little Cocker Spaniel. And email says, I have a 17-month-old Cocker Spaniel male. When I got him, he was 5 months old, no cataracts. After his series of vaccines, he developed a juvenile cataract in the left eye. We have been treating it with two different eye drops two times daily. He recently had his second Bordetella vaccine and will receive his rabies this Saturday. Now he has a cataract in his right eye. I am concerned about the Bordetella vaccine and the cataract. Do you got any information and what do you think? So, could these cataracts be related to the vaccines, Dr. Al?
Well, I think they could always be related, but, you know, I've never seen that.
Ah, okay.
It's usually a genetic defect that happens.
You mean with cockers?
If he's concerned about the Bordetella, don't give it. Kennel cough is a minimal 5 to 7 day coughing irritation of the windpipe, the trachea, of which animals feel great. They eat. There's not a problem with it. So if he's worried about vaccines, definitely don't give the Bordetella. And any vaccine he's going to give in the future, depending on the size of the dog, should be reduced if it's even given.
Don't give the full amount of the vaccine.
Oh, no. And the other end of the stick is what should be done is have him do a titer, in other words, an antibody level, without doing the vaccines to see if protective antibodies there. Because like you and I have talked about, you're going to see throughout the country, you're going to see major vaccine changes because many of these vaccines that are given to dogs and cats, kittens, if you will, puppies and kittens, last 3 to 5 to 7 to 10 years.
Right, so we've been over-vaccinating.
Those of you that are afraid of vaccines, once they've been given as a kitten or a puppy, then do an antibody titer. And if the antibody protection is still there, there's no reason to give the vaccine.
Correct.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, well, that's what I do with my own animals. I vaccinate them when they're young, and then they don't get any more vaccines for the rest of their life. I don't even titer them. I don't even... So, you know, they've all lived long lives.
And what could be done over the years, years and years ago, I introduced a product, a zinc vitamin C eye drop, that was created by a Sicilian chemist named Dr. Pichetti, who apparently was a modern-day father of chelation. And in many of the instances, in most instances, it would roll that cataract, that lens opacity, back at least 1 degree.
Huh.
Which, in fact, was worked really, really, really well.
And that was a zinc?
Zinc vitamin C eye drop, and that was handled at that time through a drgoodpet.com.
Huh.
And when the Dr. Pichetti died, whatever the formulation was, his family did not want to release it or have it used or what have you. And so we cooked up another formulation of that seemed to work. And I don't know if Good Pet still carries that stuff, but I had a retired lady back in New Jersey that was in a retirement home and had a dog with cataracts. And she had gone to a fancy clinic, and they wanted like $500 or $800 an eye to do the cataracts, which is questionable anyway because the lens is not put back. So she had written me. So I had written an article in Board and Groom on this stuff, maybe an alternative to surgery, and I sent her a bottle of this stuff, and it worked beautifully. The problem was she went back to the clinic with this board-certified ophthalmologist and showed him what happened, and so he turned me in. And I actually heard from the president of the Veterinary Ophthalmology Society, what do you think you're doing, so on and so forth.
Well, then so you got in trouble for helping the dog.
Yeah, and so the American Veterinary Medical Association then wrote me, said, you need to write an apology, apologetic letter for what you did, and I literally told them where to go and how to do it.
Jeez.
You know, I'm not going to deal with that because I'm there for my patient. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do. And if I don't, I'll find somebody that will do a better job than I can because they know more. So anyway.
So was it
a zinc
and vitamin C eye drop?
See if you can find it. It should be at least twice a day. Once a day will not work. And it may make a difference. And if you decide you want to have one of the lenses removed to see how it works, realize they do not put a lens back in or glasses or anything else. So they will say, well, the dog can see light from dark, so on and so forth. But what you do want to do is, while you're doing it, shine a light into your puppy's eyes. And if you don't get a constricted pupil, it means the retina is damaged also. So there's no point in removing the lens because the patient can't see anyway. Right.
Uh-huh. But so, and was Dr. Goodpet that you thought had that vitamin C?
DrGoodpet.com carried it. I don't know if they do. I've sent people to that. I don't think they have anything like this. They had it for humans. It was working well for humans. So you might Google zinc vitamin C eye drops for cataracts and see what's available. And then if you do find it, please let me know because I'd like to be able to continue on with what I did because it really did work.
So we can investigate that. Now, I'm interested and would like you to explain when we talked about the juvenile cataracts with this Cocker Spaniel. You said usually it's genetic.
Usually it's genetic.
So could you expand on that and explain to us what you mean?
Well, I think that with a genetic defect like that is many dogs, they have the gene for this kind of cataract thing in mom and dad and not show the problems, and once mom and dad are bred, it's concentrated in the offspring, and you can see the development of this. I've never seen it develop with a vaccine reaction, but again, you know, hey, it could be one in a million, and if it's, you know, if it's your pet or my patient, that's one enough, but I've not seen it related to vaccines.
Okay.
And I may be naive on this, but I don't know. Well, let's say so. I haven't seen it.
So there are some breeds of dogs that we know are genetically predisposed to juvenile cataracts and cataract problems.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
That is not why that I think Golden Retrievers are one of those breeds. And
yeah, Cocker Spaniels.
And
we've seen poodles.
Okay. And that's why responsible breeders that are breeding these dogs, they have their dogs screened by veterinary ophthalmologists to see whether or not they have or carry this condition. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. What they have to look at the eyes. They right now they can't measure genes. But they can certainly check the eyes out like they've done with what they call progressive retinal atrophy. They're trying to do it with SARDS now, that sudden acute retinal degeneration syndrome. They're trying to look at stuff that's indicative of this. And the cataract may be a different deal, but it seems to be genetic if it's going to happen.
So chances are this gal's Cocker Spaniel most likely would have gotten these juvenile cataracts with or without the vaccines, because this is a common genetic problem in cockers. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I do see it. Yeah, I have seen it over the years in all kinds of breeds, you bet.
And we've talked several times on the air about your issues with vaccines, in that we over-vaccinate, we vaccinate for too many things at one time, we give too much volume vaccine because we give the same amount to Chihuahuas as we do to a Great Dane, and you don't agree with that.
Exactly.
And so there are lots of problems with vaccines. Also, we have talked about that if an animal has the Pleckner syndrome or this endocrine immune imbalance, their immune system may not be able to properly respond to a vaccine.
And it may basically then become an overdose. And so I don't know if cataracts are part of it or not, to be honest with you.
Right. But you can say that, well, especially with animals that have allergic reactions or negative side effects from vaccines,
yep.
you can say you have correlated that with the endocrine immune imbalance.
Absolutely.
And that when that's stabilized, they don't then have they no longer have an allergic reaction to the
exactly
vaccine.
Right.
They can be vaccinated safely, but you have never seen the condition of juvenile cataracts happen as a result of a vaccine reaction.
No, and what happened years and years ago with the hepatitis that was included, sometimes what would happen is it would hit the back of the actual cornea, not the lens, where the cells there handle hydration of the lens itself, and you could end up with a blue, basically, cornea.
Oh. And that was a result of a vaccine?
Yeah.
That was a result of a hepatitis vaccine?
Yes, that was a number of years ago, and they have cleared that up, but never have they identified anything that did cause cataracts. Okay, and the cataracts, what you look for in what they feel cataracts come from in many instances is that you have a through the membrane that covers the lens, sometimes you have leakage. And in the embryo, as everything's developed, the body's never exposed to this lens that develops. It's just an embryological thing. Now, if there is leakage of the protein in the lens and the body's not used to it, then immediately, and particularly with my syndrome, you get antibodies to the lens, and that often causes opacity. Okay, that's where that comes from.
Ah. Okay.
In many instances, or most instances. So it is the leakage of lens protein that causes the body to make antibodies to it, and then cataracts can occur.
Huh.
And so it may well, you know, be involved with, I think, my syndrome. I'm not sure where the vaccines fit into it, unless it just is all part of the syndrome being there. It would be interesting if the gentleman or the lady that has the dog does an EI panel to see if there is a Pleckner syndrome involved.
Yeah, that would be very interesting, because for the Pleckner syndrome that we're talking about, the endocrine immune imbalance, Dr. Al has developed a blood test panel to diagnose it. And you can find out all about that on Dr. Al's website or in his book, www.drpleckner.com.
And he's actually on HPN, too. You can find that Healthy Pet Network.
HealthyPetNetwork.org. Now,
correct.
Would that be, what would you find that in, like, the articles, or?
Yeah, they're doing the articles. What they're really realistically doing, they're trying to take the stuff, the work that I've found, and they're trying to get it out around the world. So they're taking everything off of my website, plus everything that other things I'm doing and what they're doing, and they're trying to coalesce this thing to share it with the world, if you will. And just make it the most
all right,
intense.
Yeah, so more information there.
Yep.
We always promise callers priority. And if I'm interpreting Sandy correctly here on the computer, it looks like you may know this person. It looks like Michelle in... it looks like, what, Klamath Falls? Is there Klamath Falls down where you are, Dr. Al?
That might be Michael Goldman, who is one of the...
Oh, it says Dr. Al takes care of it. Well, let's find out. It could be Michael, could be Michelle. We're not... Oh, Sandy's typing something more. There's an M came up. So Michael or Michelle, I apologize because I'm not... I don't know for sure. But whoever you are, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Dr. Al and Martha.
Yeah, well, thank
Michael,
you. Can you hear me?
It must be Michael, huh?
Yeah, call him Michelle. That's okay.
I've been called worse. In fact, Dr. L has called me worse, but that's a whole other story.
I'm not done yet.
I just wanted to call and say hello, and Dr. L did a great job talking about the website, and the reason I chose now, as opposed to I was trying to find the appropriate time to be able to call in, you're talking about cataracts and you're talking about the syndrome and the imbalance, and he knows my dog Rex. In fact, he has helped Rex, and Rex has SARDs, and Rex is...
Okay. Well, now, first, Michael, because I don't know, and neither do my listeners, tell Rex is what kind of dog?
He is a Shih Tzu.
A Shih Tzu, and how old?
He's 9.
9 years old, and so Dr.
He's 9 years old.
Does he have the Pleckner syndrome, the imbalance?
Yes, he does. He's been tested for it. He was not doing very well. This is how I actually met Dr. Al.
Oh, why don't you tell us? Tell us about that.
In this through this situation. But he is on the protocol, and he's doing very well. We were a little late in meeting Dr. Al, so he never was able to get his eyesight back through the SARDs. We're assuming that there's a window of opportunity to be able to do something for the retina. But as far as his behavior, his demeanor, everything he is, he's doing so much better. And I thank the doctor very much for that and have many, many times. But I just thought this would be the time to call because he also has a cataract.
Mm.
And I'm not sure why he ever got the cataract. I always assumed... And maybe this is just something about the profession in itself. They didn't know when I first brought it into our vet what the problem was with his eye.
Uh-huh.
And they kept messing around with it, doing all these different things to his eye, not really knowing what the problem was. And I think it was all that messing around and mini surgeries and stuff like that that really caused the problem with the cataract. But I'm guessing with that. All I know is from there we found out about the imbalance and all the help that Dr. Pleckner has given to us. And Rex is doing a lot better. And I think just because of all that, I mean, he's kind of set the tone for us all. But it gave us the opportunity to meet Dr. Pleckner and set all these things in motion where we can hopefully, which is our goal, to do so much more for animals out there.
Well, yeah, and so you are one of the parties that are responsible for the HealthyPetNetwork.org website?
Absolutely, yes.
Well, I'm so glad. I'm delighted that you called in. And just going on the record.
As I am. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, yeah. I'm impressed with the website so far. And I have not been able to be in contact with you and volunteer to get involved because I'm still selling my house and getting ready to move. But I'm almost in the middle of that. Well, I'm in the middle of that process right now. And once I get moved and get my new computer system and all of that, I'll be ready to go. And so I want you to know that I definitely want to be involved with this website and would love to contribute.
We will be. We want you to do webinars, too. We'd love it.
Oh, yeah. I think that'll be great fun. I think there'll be all kinds of great stuff coming out of that, you know, as time goes by. And there are actually two websites, Dr. Al says, the healthypetnetwork.org and the healthypetnetwork.net. Is that correct, Mike?
Well, the .net is the blog.
Oh, okay.
And through the blog, we blog a lot of Dr. Plechner stuff.
Oh, okay.
So
I haven't had a chance to look at that yet.
But it's the early stages. It's going to be a very big project. We're in the early stages. We have so much more to do with the website. So you're not too late, and I really look forward to getting a chance to speak with you, and I greatly appreciate all your help.
Yeah, and absolutely. And anytime, if you need anything from me, I mean, don't hesitate. I mean, call me, bug my voicemail, you know, I mean, email me, whatever's going on, let me know what you need, and because I'd love to participate. I just am kind of up to my eyeballs in the moment and starting my new life after taking care of Dad and moving back to the country. So I'm looking forward to participating in all of this. So,
well, I thank you very, very much for your time. And I just want to say that Dr. Plechner is one of the great men in the world today, and he's done so much good. And what he talks about really works and is really a good thing. And I thank him very much.
Now, Mike, are you the one that he mentioned that has like the 19 dogs and the 14 cats and all of that?
Yes.
And that's you, huh?
That's
Michelle.
Oh, that's Michelle, huh?
Yes, that's me. We take care of lots of animals, and some that we were born and raised here, and others that we take care of that needed a home or needed us that, you know, we saved.
Now, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in Klamath Falls, Oregon, so I'm in a small town in southern Oregon.
Oh, okay, Klamath Falls. Hey, I recognize that.
And no wolves here, though.
So how many years have you been aware of Dr. Al's work?
Just been a couple of years now.
Okay, that's helped your dogs. Well, that's great for you to get so involved. And have you treated more than this Shih Tzu you're talking about with the Plechner syndrome, or do you have more
animals?
Yes,
I have. Yes,
okay.
I have.
So you have more than just one animal experience.
Yes, except for that was the one that was a little bit late, and he went blind. But like with Millie, she's had cancer, and she had otolytic anemia, and she's on the protocol, and she's doing great. Okay, and Abby's doing really well. So they seem once you're able to catch it and get them balanced and do the test and balanced, it really works. And I just wanted to say that I am one of those many that has seen and experienced the wonders of what he does.
Yeah, well, oh, me too. It saved my horse was my first miracle with Dr. Al's protocol, and also has kept my golden retriever going all these years, and my Abyssinians. So I have a lot of familiarity with it, and it was absolutely a miracle story with my horse, but I don't have time to relate that to you right now. But now, is Dr. Al just coached you from afar, or have you actually been able to meet him and go down to California?
He has coached me from afar.
Okay.
but coach me, he definitely does, because we're in communication constantly. So we're always talking.
All right.
He's threatened to come down and meet me. Pretty scary.
Well, especially if he brings his 19 dogs and 14 cats.
Well, and his hope and his wife's hope, Terry, is once this gets done, is to be able to set up a domestic animal preserve where they can help the animals with free medicine, free medical care, the whole bit. And that's where they're going with this. You know, once
absolutely
it works and it will
well, and
work,
certainly
they're
going to
have that opportunity.
Certainly you know that many, at least my opinion, many of the animals that end up abandoned, abused, neglected, or in rescue, it is a direct result of the Plechner syndrome. Because as a behavior therapist and trainer, I can speak to how it affects animals behaviorally. And certainly physically, with problems that people can't afford to take care of and all that sort of thing, but there's the extreme and irrational fear and extreme and irrational aggression that comes from the suppression or the blocking of the thyroid hormones being able to work that really wreaks havoc in these animals' behaviors. And a lot of reason that a lot of times that's why they end up in rescue. So I'm just delighted about your website, Mike, and delighted that you're making it free and available to everyone. And it's going to be fun to see how it evolves. And I hope to be involved as well.
All right. Thank you very much. And I just wanted to say thank you overall for talking about the website and for everything.
Oh, you're
and
welcome.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to speak to you again soon.
All right. And you know we're here for Vet Sunday with the first Sunday of every month. However, let's see, the first Sunday of December, Dr. Al is going to be visiting family and is taking the month off. So Dr. Mike Salewski will be here in his place. So other than the next first Sunday, the first Sunday of January, can you believe it? Oh, January 2010 will be the next time you're on the air. Whoa. That's
almost
a shock.
And we'll have lots of updates for the site because we'll be jumping by that point.
Super. Will you call us anytime, Mike?
Thank you very much. Take care. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Happy Halloween. Day after, anyway.
Okay. Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
All right. That's going to wrap us up for this portion of the show. We need to cover current events, and we have a brand new pet of the week. And then we got to find out, is KCACC, are they open? Are they closed? Are they moved? Are they not? Do we even know? And when will we know? Well, we'll find out. Nancy McKinney is here after current events. So stay with us, Dr. Al. We'll hang around as well. We've got another full hour, third hour of today's show to cover, and we'd love your phone calls and or emails. So stay tuned for that. And Animal World continues with current events, Pet of the Week, straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Darla Ruers wanted to be a veterinarian since the age of five. Always an empath, natural healer, and visionary artist, Darla wanted to give a voice to the animals and be their advocate on the most gentle, heart-centered, true-feeling way. Her interest in shamanism, plant medicines, and diverse healing forms led her to open the Ancient Arts Healing Arts Center for Pets and People located in Fremont. There is a very tangible link between the symptoms we see in animals and the people they live with, and Dr. Ruers treats the animals, helping their caretakers bring awareness to their part in the wellness. Darla teaches Qigong and art meditation to the humans to help them help their pets. A licensed veterinarian in Washington, Dr. Ruers has been certified in veterinary acupuncture and has practiced alternative therapies on domestic and exotic species since 2002. She has been doing house calls and office visits in the greater Puget Sound area since 2005. For more information, go to ancientartsvet.com or call 206-547-1025. That's 206-547-1025. Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage. Teaching pet owners and horse owners since 2001, the Northwest School of Animal Massage offers flexible online and hands-on classes, transforming your life and the lives of your animals. To learn more about animal health and well-being, go to NWSAM.com and check Pet Shop Talk. And for more information about animal massage classes or Reiki classes, go to NWSAM.com or call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Remember, you're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and we're on the downside of the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. But we are here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And let's see, it is time once again for current events. On the current events calendar, let's see, WASART training sessions for volunteers with large animal handling experience. They're setting up and staffing a livestock emergency shelter in the event of flooding from the Green River and Howard Hanson Dam. And there are two training sessions. One will be Saturday, November 7th. The other Sunday, November 14th, from 9:30 to 3 p.m. You only need to go to one session. They're at the old King County Fairgrounds, the Enumclaw Expo Center. It's free, but they need donations. And you must pre-register 7 days prior. So if you need information, call Bill at 425-417-8339, or to register, call Lynn at 206-498-4633. Okay, the Alternative Medicine and Rehabilitation Center at Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital's free seminar with Dr. Mike Saluski and Dr. Neary is coming up on Wednesday evening, November 11th. It's Dr. Mike will be talking about performance strategies for animal athletes, and Dr. Neary will be talking about common injuries in competition. Now, there will be complimentary appetizers and desserts served at 6:30 p.m., and the lecture begins at 7. So call for a reservation, Pilchuck Veterinary Hospital, the Alternative Medicine and Rehabilitation Center, 360-568-3112. Meet the man who saved Snaps, and that would Olympic Animal Sanctuary's founder is to speak at the Humane Society on Tuesday, November 10th from noon to 1:30. Bring your brown bag lunch. It's free. However, they'd like you to make a donation to the Olympic Animal Sanctuary. You must RSVP by November 9th to 425-641-0080. Or you can email humane@seattlehumane.org. And, oh boy, eagles, hawks, and owls, oh my, live and in person. Experience wild raptors at 7 p.m. on Thursday, November 5th at the Mill Creek City Annex Building in Mill Creek. Sarvey Wildlife Education Birds will be presented by Kestrel Skyhawk. She's, of course, been a guest here on Animal World. Have a wild time at this fundraiser for Sarvey Wildlife Care Center. Bring your checkbook. More information at www.sarveywildlife.org. Pours and Purrs, a beer tasting and silent auction to benefit feral cat spay and neuter projects on November 14th, Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Malt and Vine in Redmond. It's $30 per person, $50 for two, and RSVP to events at feralcatproject.org. The Humane Society of Snohomish County's annual dinner auction is Sunday, November 22nd from 3:30 to 6:30 at the Embassy Suites Hotel in Linwood. It's $55, reserved seating, afternoon attire, silent and live auction with plenty of items for holiday gifts. So proceeds will help finish the new 18-acre feral cat shelter in Stanwood. So you can call 360-652-5844. All right, I think that covers the most important things on current events. You can get more details at www.marthanorwalk.com and click on current events. Next week, we welcome back the Director of Education for the Northwest School of Animal Massage, Lola Michelin, who will be in the house. We'll talk about the school and upcoming classes and how you can make massage a career. Also, Lola's got a new radio show we'll talk about. And we're also going to talk about aromatherapy and the proper use of essential oils. And we're going to talk about pending legislation in the animal world and some scary stuff going on, especially related to the selling of raw food could be a real problem coming up. So we'll tell you all about that. So be here next week. So that's going to wrap up current events for this Sunday. And now we're going to get into Pet of the Week.
Do you see that doggy in the shelter?
Meow.
The one with the take me home eyes. If you give him love and attention, he will be your best friend for life.
All right. Speaking of best friends, one of ours, the interim manager of King County Animal Care and Control, that would be Nancy McKinney. Good morning, Nance.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I was just chuckling because, you know, when I come off to do the radio show, I come to the studio and I leave the radio on for Annie Golden Retriever and Scooty and G-Man G, my cats, to listen to the show. And I just was chuckling to myself when we were playing, you know, how much is that doggy in the window, and I was doing the meows. And I did the prr, prr. I'd love to be a fly on the wall at home, because when I make that sound, that's my cue to the cats that the deburred, the interactive toys, are coming out.
Uh-oh.
So I may have severely disappointed my cats. When I made those sounds, they might have gotten out of bed and got all excited, and I'm not there. But
Oh. Sorry,
boys. We'll play later. Okay, so let's, before we get to our new Pet of the Week, at least you're here and we're doing a Pet of the Week.
Right, business as usual, pretty much.
Ah.
Even though everybody thinks we're closing today or closed, we are open, and both shelters are open. And the good news is we do have pretty much 99% locked in on a location to set up an emergency shelter for animals if and when the flood occurs.
Ah. So you've found a place to go if you need to.
Right.
But does that mean you're not going to move into it? You're only going to use it if the situation arises?
Correct. It's not suitable for us to move all our operations there permanently.
Gotcha.
It's in SeaTac. It's up above ground, but it will work during an emergency.
During an emergency. Okay.
Yeah. So we got that kind of almost taken care of. So, yes, we're still going to stay in Kent until they decide what options we have, and they're still negotiating with the Humane Society regarding housing in general. So,
well, it's interesting. I'm wondering if the news channels are really checking on what's going on, because I saw a news report on Cairo News last night.
Yes, we saw
that. Said you guys closed yesterday and you're done.
I saw that. It was not a very nice way to go in the evening.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So you saw it too, because, you know,
yes,
I had recently gotten your email saying that none of this had happened.
Right.
And then I see the news that said it did happen. And I'm thinking, well, Nancy probably knows more than they do, so what's up with this? So you saw that same newscast.
I did.
So bottom line is that wasn't correct.
No, I think they're still going on old reports about throwing out the November 1st, which was the flood date, and comparing that to the council still trying to basically end animal control and combining the two. But we just sent them a correction and sent out a press release today saying we're still open for business in both Crossroads and in our Kent shelter.
Now, open for business, does that mean, because I think I got a press release saying that you were no longer accepting animals.
We're no longer accepting owner surrenders.
Owner surrenders, okay.
In an attempt to reduce the number of animals we would have to move when we find our relocated site, or if we're relocating the animals to another entity like the Humane Society. So we're reducing the number of animals we have in our system, so to speak. And then actually today we're going to waive all the adoption fees on our animals so that, again, we could try to find all homes for the animals so that when we get to that point of moving, we won't have that many. That's the hope.
So it's a new. So you're not taking owner surrenders. So owner wants to surrender an animal, they've got to go someplace else.
Right. And when they come in, we do try to coach them and find out what is the heart of the reason why they can't keep their animal anymore. And then we also have many resources and lists and handouts for them to look at and to read and to follow up on. And we've notified, this occurred mid-October, and we've notified all the shelters prior to making that announcement so that they were well aware of the potential impact.
Okay, but you're still adopting, and you just said all adoption fees are waived?
Right.
Woohoo!
And we're still picking up loose and lost animals, and including rounding up four alpacas on Friday.
Four alpacas?
Yeah. And they actually got back to their home. And So we're still out in the field, still responding to calls, and still trying to find homes for the animals we do have up for adoption.
All right. Well, we're going to run way over time here, but let's do this anyway. So let's go. So we'll get weekly reports from you at least, so we'll know what's going on.
Sure.
But don't trust the news.
Right.
Okay. So let's see. Last week we had Cirrus, the cute little pit bull.
Right. And good news, he found his home yesterday.
Woohoo!
Very excited about that.
Adopted. Fabulous. Okay. We go back to.